Hello, friends. The band is back together. The boys are back. It's Kings of Anglia podcast time, number 41, I think. I'm kind of giving
up. I think it might be 42.
Number 42, as I was saying. My name's Mark Heath. I'm your host as ever. And with me, I'm very pleased to say, I'm going to introduce you first, Stuart, because you always come second. On my right hand, as ever, my right hand man, Stuart the Dr. Watson. And right. Back, how are you?
Yeah, good.
Excellent. And back, I'm very pleased to say, from his week off, Andy Alfred Hutchcockles, Hutch to his mates, Warren. How are you, friend?
That is quite the intro. Yeah, very well. Nice to see you both.
We swung by Andy's house earlier because we had to pick something up.
And, yeah. Did you see the table?
His house is obviously called The Hutch.
Yes.
Not
officially.
I didn't invite Stu in. That's the next. He's not been in my house yet. Right. That'll come.
One day we'll get the invite.
We were in a hurry. I forgot my coat. It's an open door policy.
I still think maybe over Christmas we should do a around your posh table Game of Thrones style podcast. I imagine you've got like a feasting banquet style table, the way you described it.
It's a good table. Yeah. No, it's a good table. Good table with two solid benches to sit on.
I'm up for taking the podcast on the road.
On the road.
Definitely.
I love that. Yeah.
I'm thinking more pubs than houses.
Definitely. Definitely pubs. We could do that.
Can I just rewind a minute? Andy mentioned there that we had to go and buy his house to get his coat. He's kind of climbed down a little bit on this.
Yes.
I've never worn a coat.
Excellent ball. Point. Excellent point.
Yeah.
Not too long ago, old Hutchcockles over there was boldly proclaiming that he'd never worn a coat. We'd never see him in a coat. And now, we always see him in a bloody coat.
Yeah.
In fact,
yeah.
He had to go and fetch his coat earlier, as you were saying, Stu.
That was the truth. I have very rarely worn a coat. And you'll attest to this, Stu. You've seen me. Derek Davis, formerly of this parish, will attest to this as well, because he used to moan at me for not wearing a coat while hanging around for hours waiting for football players to talk about football. But of late, I'm getting older, and an older man starts to feel the cold, and I'm starting to feel the cold, so I've got my old coat out, and I got it dry cleaned while I was off as well, because it had been in the cupboard for that long. So yeah, I'm fully coated now.
Is it anything to do with becoming a father, and therefore more responsible?
No.
Not wanting to die of frostbite so much.
No, I still don't. I never wanted to die of frostbite.
You were willing
at any
to risk
point
it
yet.
Before.
Well, Jessica's got a coat.
Are you going to get a new coat though?
No.
No?
I don't need
not
one.
That stage
he's shelled out £12 on a dry clean now, isn't he?
It's expensive dry cleaning, man.
Oh, mate.
£12. That was with a loyalty card, which isn't mine.
We wanted to get a rug dry cleaned and it would have cost us £60 and would have taken 3 weeks.
That's a
we
joke.
We just bought a new rug.
Just get a new one. Yeah.
We're in the wrong game.
Absolutely. Friends, what have we been up to? Because it's been a little while since we've all had this round table chat. Andy, you were off last week. What did you do? Where did you go?
Got my coat dry cleaned.
Yeah.
Established that.
I thought you might have wanted to hear more about
that. You took
that.
Young Jess on the tube for the first time.
Yep. Yeah, we went into London, which was nice. She loved the tube, made friends with lots of people. Had to change a nappy on the Piccadilly line.
Oh, you're joking.
Which was brilliant.
You are joking.
Nope, did it twice. I'll show you a picture later.
Well, people were on the tube with you. You were changing a shitty nappy.
Yep.
You don't get to choose where it happens, my friend.
Well, your choice is do it or leave it on her, which...
True.
I, for one, know which is best.
Wow, okay. But that was good. Obviously,
that was the highlight. That was the highlight. Yep.
Stewie, what have you been up to, other than thinking about Ipswich Town?
What have I been up to? That's quite... busy-ish week, I suppose. Last week we had the AGM, didn't we? All the financial figures that come out.
We
went to Stoke, didn't we?
Away from football, Stewie.
Away from football.
I want to know you more. What did you do? You had 2 days off last week. What did you do?
I can't remember. Can't have been that exciting. What did you do, Mark?
Well, friends, do you know what I did last week?
Is where this was leading.
The whole of last week, I, my friends, was a vegetarian.
Okay.
Oh.
Did a week of not eating any meat.
Why?
Because me and my wife do this stupid thing at the start of every year where we write down a list of like things we want to do that year. And one of hers was go a week without eating meat.
So you've got all the
late.
There's only 3 weeks left of the year.
Yeah. It was an experience. I wouldn't say my bowels thanked me for it. A lot of veg was consumed.
What kind of new... Have you introduced anything new into the diet as part of this, or is it just...
Obviously, no meat and a lot less... a lot more fruit and veg. So I was having, like, tomato soup for lunch. Kind of a variation of tomatoes and onions.
Very tomato heavy.
It was tomato themed, and a lot of the main meals in the evening were quite tomatoey and eggy.
A bit miserable as well?
Not. I wouldn't say it was as joyful as eating meat on the regular.
I also note that your lunch today was a box of chicken, so you're now back.
I'll tell you what, that tasted amazing as well. After a week of not eating meat.
A meaty detox.
Have a bang on that chicken. And the other thing I did before we last spoke was I went to see Kevin Bridges, you know, the Scottish comedian.
Oh, yeah.
Saw him in Leicester.
Good.
He was superb. He told a very, very funny joke about how God had lost the dressing room, listing, you know, like Brexit, Trump, ISIS, general rise of the far right, etc., etc. And basically the payoff was it was time for Sam Allardyce to come in because God's clearly, absolutely. Yeah. Steady hand on the tiller.
Steady the ship exactly. Before the end of the season.
Sam Allardyce in charge of Brexit?
I think that's only going to go one way. I don't know.
He'd keep us in Europe, though, surely. He keeps people up.
We'd want some sexy football 6 months later, and we would all get bored of the pragmatism of it all, and the cycle would continue.
I'd like to know Big Sam's stance on Brexit. I have an opinion of him. But that might be wrong, because I think lots of people have opinions.
I think Sam Allardyce,
and they're generally wrong. Yeah. So,
you think Sam Allardyce believes Brexit means Brexit?
I think
he does,
but he also likes wearing a headset and signs players like Yuri Zhurkov and JJ Okocha.
Wasn't he famously progressive as well?
Exactly.
The American style of thinking.
Exactly.
Into English sport.
He's the key man of looks can be deceiving, because he's not what you would think. He's not just a northern man.
Exactly. Friends, before we move on, very quickly, very important, it's December, the tree is up in reception. Can I ask you, you're both the father of young girls, Jessica's first Christmas, in fact,
yep.
Andy Warren, Stewie,
yes.
Aya's very first Christmas when she actually knows what's going on,
yep.
She's going to be super excited. Has Christmas arrived in the Hutch and Dr. Watson households? Are your decorations up?
Households, yes. In my mind, no. It's where I'm at on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, much the same, to be honest. Yeah, decorations are up. Wife sorted all of the presents and stuff out. I try to stay out of that as much as possible. Christmas is about football. It's one thing only, it's about football.
Of course it is.
And with that, I think we should segue into what the people really want
to
hear.
Oh, Stu, you don't like having this general banter bit, do you? I'm trying to keep it away from football
as long
as possible.
You want to talk about your dog getting Christmas cards.
He's got loads, hasn't he?
That is happening. He has got already about 15 and we've got one. From all over the world he's getting them now. Got Christmas presents the other day as well. But I was just interested mainly because Hutchie famously doesn't buy anything for his other half. So I wondered if that extends to young Jessica.
Oh,
Christmas.
No.
No?
No.
Yeah, you don't buy stuff for you.
I haven't bought Vicky a Christmas or birthday present for probably 6 years.
And she the same for you?
Yep.
That's interesting.
She had to ask me the other day, in the car on the way down to London, actually, she had to ask me whether I was planning on getting her anything this year from Jessica.
Right.
To which I said no. So.
Okay. Because normally, like, in my experience, and I'm sure it's the same with you, when my wife says, don't bother getting me anything, that means you better bloody get me something, otherwise you're in serious
trouble.
Everyone
knows that.
Yeah.
No.
She's actually genuinely honest about it.
Yep. I haven't bought her a birthday or Christmas present for the whole time we've been married.
Incredible scenes.
Wow.
Now then, Stu, now, I know this makes you feel uneasy not talking about football. Obviously, football's a bit dull at the moment, a bit depressing.
Yeah, good point. Let's stay on this Christmas theme.
Ipswich Town are the gift that keep on giving.
Oh, away, puns out.
Away goals and points.
Ipswich Town need a Christmas miracle, don't they, Stu? As you penned. To an effect earlier this week. I suppose we better talk about it then. Come on. Bloody miserable. Town are still bottom of the table, about 104 points away from safety. They're never going to win again. They lost at Stoke. Your thoughts? On you go.
Well, they will now be bottom on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
That can't change. Thoughts on Stoke? They same as the Lambert era. They play quite well. They were beaten by a team that was made up of so many international football players and scored two really good goals. But in the main, Ipswich played quite well. They're lacking something up front. We've known that the whole time. And they were beaten by two good goals. But it was a better performance than at Forest, I thought, which is a positive, I guess.
Is this not just a theme now of Lambert's kind of reign so far? I mean, he's been in charge for 6 games, he's got 2 points. After every game he says, played all right, things are better, we're going to be all right. This time he said they're not too far away from being a top side.
Yeah.
Don't know what his definition
of
top
side
is.
He doesn't say we played all right. He says we played really, really well and we're so, so close to being a top, top side. And Andy and I have been discussing this, that of course you expect him to say all these things. That's his job. He's got to come in and lift everybody up off the seat of their pants, fans and players alike. And the concern is just the longer the wait for a win goes on, that those words start to lose their impact a little bit. I noticed a couple of our fans, columnists, were saying that they're not quite buying into this positivity as much as they were beforehand. But Andy's right. Stoke was good. It was a step up in performance from Forest, where, to be honest, after that Bart mistake, after 9 minutes, 1-0 down, and they never really looked like getting back into it. But at Stoke, they genuinely went toe-to-toe with a very good Stoke City side. I mean, I looked down that team sheet beforehand. Butland in goal, Tom Ince, Joe Allen, the two goal scorers. You could go on and on. The fact that they had Crouch and Fletcher come on for the last 2 minutes told you everything about their squad. And Ipswich had more shots, they had more corners, they had their lion's share of possession. They played pretty well, but all season, between the boxes, they've been okay. Even under Hurst, that was the case. But both, you know, the business ends of the pitch, you always feel like there's a mistake that will lead to a goal, and I'm never quite convinced that they'll score at least the 2 goals they need to win football matches at the moment.
We're talking narrative management now. That's what we were talking about, weren't we? About managing a narrative now. Lambert is saying the right things, he's done the right things, and he's right, he has got the team playing a lot better, and you do feel like a win is coming, but you've got to manage that narrative now in a way that ensures that people can stay on side with you, because I think people have enjoyed what they've seen, but that will only go on so long. They
just
have to win.
It gets a bit hollow, doesn't it, if you keep saying we're playing well.
It does.
I mean,
and he'll know that.
Yeah, it was quite interesting. I thought you mentioned the columnist there this week, Carl Fuller. The main theme of his column was basically the football gods should give us a break, i.e. appealing to a higher deity. And Terry Hunt, North Stander, formerly of this parish, wrote about how he cheered when Norwich scored because it meant the town were actually helped by it. So we're at a situation now where we're appealing to God and wanting Norwich to do well, which I think kind of sums up quite how poorly things are looking for town as it stands. Clearly a massive, massive festive season ahead. You were obviously at Stoke at the weekend. There's been talk of perhaps Lambert plundering his old club. Very briefly he was there, of course. Similar kind of situation with Stoke, actually, looking back. He said all those sort of things at Stoke last season about how they're going to stay up. Anyway, now, the players that obviously most spring to mind about potentially coming here, Charlie Adam and Peter Crouch. Anything in that you reckon? Charlie Adam would make sense, wouldn't it? Or not?
It would. I'm not convinced that one's going to happen. I think it would make sense. Speaking to people at Stoke, they're saying now that obviously we first knew Charlie Adam as what, an attacking, sort of left-sided attacking midfield player. Now he's very much a let's sit deep and dictate play kind of thing at the moment, which would fill a gap left by Cole Skews. Incidentally, I saw Charlie Adam after the game. He wasn't on the bench. I saw Charlie Adam after the game when I was hanging around in what was the mix zone but is actually a bike shed. Charlie Adam, I saw him smuggling in a crate of Corona into the Bet365, but he put it underneath a towel so that none of the waiting fans who were waiting for autographs...
Any idea where the Corona was headed?
The Stoke City Christmas party. I believe they were heading to Dublin for the evening on the back of their 3 points.
If you want to find where a footballer's Christmas party around this time of year, I'm sure if you have a weekend in Dublin, you will bump into
a lot.
A team of footballers at some stage. That was where Ipswich always used to go. I don't know. Certainly when there was a bigger Irish contingent, someone like Murphy or Hunt would sort out the night out, and they would get away from the glare of some supporters a little bit. But Charlie Adam, I don't know. We spoke to quite a few Stoke fans and press officers and various people that are associated with Stoke. They weren't really buying the Adam Lambert reunion because I don't think they parted on the best terms there. I think it was Charlie Adam who missed a penalty that ended up costing Stoke, and I think Lambert
has referenced that
several times, which I'm not sure went down particularly well with Charlie Adam. I think there was an interview with him where he talked about how Lambert basically made everyone else the water carriers for Shaqiri last year. So depends how much he wants to play football. If he's not even getting on their bench at the moment, and you've got a chance to come and be basically the fulcrum of the side, which is what Ipswich will be offering someone like him, he may have to put all that to one side. I wouldn't rule it out, but I'm certainly not saying it's nailed on either.
I loved Hips Don't Lie, by the way, by Shaqiri. That was well good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mrs. PK.
Yeah, absolutely. How about Big Paul Crouch? He's got his own podcast.
I listened to one.
Not as good as this one, I'm sure.
No. Of course not.
So if he did come here, he'd come on this podcast. That's what I'm saying, boys. But anyway, Crouchy, any thoughts? He did reference Lee Lambert about saying he wasn't going to sign 6'9" players the other week, which is exactly how tall Crouch is, isn't it?
That was part of a conversation about the style of football, and I'll never abandon my principles playing out from the back and all the rest of it. And he said, if I wanted to go long, I'd go out, as you say, and sign 6'9" strikers or whatever, and I'm not going to do that. So there's not many 6 foot whatever strikers out there. Peter Crouch is one of them. He's 37 now. He's 38 in January.
Did he play at all the weekend? Cameo?
4 minutes at the end or something.
Mm.
Is he the dynamic, high press type striker that Paul Lambert wants? I mean, he's a very good player, still a very good player now. I mean, crikey, he played 40-odd times for England. He's been in the Premier League for most of his career. Would certainly add something to the squad, but I don't know if he's the type that Lambert's after.
It sounds like Rowett's, you know, he's not starting games for Stoke particularly, but it does sound like Rowett really values having him around. He's on the bench every week. He's certainly something different for Stoke. And as much as we all love Peter Crouch, he's 37, 38, and he seems to be ready to start carving out life out after football for himself. I don't think doesn't seem to me like he's going to be one that's going to be out there knocking on managers' doors saying, I need to be playing, I need to play at this age. I think he's probably quite happy with what he's doing at the moment. So I think he's still based up in the northwest after his time at Liverpool and stuff. Or would he want to come down, leave his kids, come down to Ipswich? I don't know. It doesn't strike me as something that would appeal to him hugely.
Yeah, there's other striker options out there we've been talking about. It's someone that fits that sort of dynamic, high press role that's basically a better version of... You're basically becoming an improved version of Roberts/Harrison, who... Coming back to that, I thought Harrison had a decent little 10-minute cameo at Stoke. But they certainly need a striker. Connor Wickham coming back into things after an injury at Palace.
He played for Palace's 23s this afternoon. I think he scored as well.
He'd be one that jumped off the page. Just looking down through the squads, we started to scribble a few down. Someone like Ashley Fletcher at Middlesbrough, who I know Ipswich were really, really interested in. Dave Bauman, the director of football, he's one that he's very keen on. Ashley Fletcher, they've missed out on him a couple of times in the past, not getting game time. Gusted also at Middlesbrough.
I like Gusted. I've always quite liked him. I don't know if he's quite the dynamic front man, perhaps, but I think he's a more mobile version of Crouch, and certainly a more natural striker than Roberts. I've always quite liked him.
Who else was on there? Would you have Daryl Murphy back? He's not getting a huge amount of game time at Forest.
Yeah. If you'd asked me that before John Walters, I probably would have said yes, but you'd fear that the same thing might happen. Daryl Murphy was brilliant for Ipswich Town. Is he the man to dig them out of this hole? I don't know. Mm. He's 30. Well, he must be nearly 36 himself. I don't know.
Stu, that's something you're going to look at tomorrow.
Yeah.
If you listen to this, this is obviously Monday afternoon, we're recording this. Stu's going to pen something tomorrow, Tuesday, for online and print about who Lambert might turn to as he seeks to pull off what would be a Christmas miracle, or at least the start of the miracle at Christmas. Town need the greatest a single escape from the relegation threat we'd ever have seen for them to stay up. So a little bit about that. Boys, we're going to come on in a minute to the under-23s. That's where you've been spending your afternoon, which sounds like an exciting game. You saw some first-team players there as well. And we're also going to talk a little bit about mailbag and then move on to Wigan this weekend.
I know what's coming.
You know what time it is now, don't you? The fans want it.
Mark's big question.
Yes. Andy Warren, because I'm so pleased to see you. I wanted a hug off you this morning. You refused.
Incorrect. I offered one, and then when it became reality, you backed out of it.
True.
Not a hugger?
True. No, I offered that. I offered the hug.
I didn't expect you to offer a hug. I'd hug you.
When you're standing there with your arms out, going, give me a hug.
Yeah.
I offered the hug, and then you recoiled. So
let's hug it out.
We'll have a hug after.
Pick a number, please, between 1 and 32.
32. Ooh. Chef Kikuchi.
32. This is very interesting, given the surroundings that I'm in and the people I'm sitting with. Again, less a question, more of a statement. The statement is, the American Office is better than the British version.
No.
Incorrect.
Have you ever watched the American
Office?
Yes,
I've watched it all, and I liked it.
Superior in every way.
No.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Are you really?
Absolutely.
You're not. I've got friends who are equally as big fans of the original Office as I, and they will give you a good argument for the American version, but yes. No, nothing beats the Gervais version for me.
I like the American version, but it's just not the OG.
The only thing I will say about the American version is it went on a bit too long.
But that's what Ricky did so well.
Yeah,
that's
I can see that argument.
And perfection.
They brought like Will Ferrell in and people like that as it kind of meandered towards its conclusion. But there are some tremendous episodes of The American Office. Really, really good. And Steve Carell is brilliant as David Brent.
He's not David Brent though, is he?
No, but he is fantastic. So you're not having that argument at all. Obviously, you love The Office and everything about The Office. You quote each other frequently.
Yeah. Wow. We will have entire conversations, not even conversations, they're just quotes backwards and forwards.
What
just...
is your favourite sketch / line from The Office?
Well, the correct answer to this is series 1 episode 4, isn't it?
Is that Training Day?
Yeah.
Yeah, Training Day.
That's the correct, that is the
general
answer. Is
that the one with the where he goes home to get the guitar? That
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
Yeah, get the guitar.
Sing some songs from it. You know who else loves The Office?
Everyone.
Benjamin Bloom.
Does he?
Your
Bloomy.
Friend loves it.
Old Button.
Me and Ben we've exchanged Office quotes via text, actually.
You're so cool.
I know. Well, am I?
I didn't know that.
I'll also say, the programme we're all watching at the moment, or yep. have been watching, People Just Do Nothing, which is fantastic.
Yes.
Heavily, heavily influenced by The Office, I reckon.
We watched an episode in the car on the way back.
I love this.
On
you
Saturday.
Watch TV together.
One earphone each.
Yeah. But MC Grinder, the kind of main character, he is David Brent.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
a grime DJ MC form, isn't yeah. he?
MC Grinder.
Bam! Lyrical go to the jaw. Bam! I was most disappointed in that show when they came to Ipswich on tour. Obviously, yeah. coming to Ipswich was seen to be funny because Ipswich is in the middle of bloody nowhere.
Yeah.
They weren't actually here, though. It would have
yeah,
been great had they actually come to Ipswich.
They did a nightclub appearance, didn't
yeah.
they? And it wasn't
yeah.
what was Liquid or anything.
Yeah, mm. it would have been so good. And the route they took was really weird
yeah.
as well, wasn't it? Clearly
just,
it wasn't.
Just straight up the A12.
Exactly.
From where they're living, Brentford,
yeah.
M25, A12, done. Don't know where. They just tried to make it funny by being
yeah.
in the middle of nowhere.
Only two episodes left of that, boys.
Ipswich has appeared in so many comedy things.
It's mm. just got like a... If you were to pick like a random place
yeah.
in the country for a gag like that, Ipswich just sounds, I think...
Well, because people
funny
see it as a sort of back end of nowhere.
It's in The
they?
Office as well.
In The Office.
Mentioned in The Office. Obviously in Partridge.
Yeah. Will Ferrell.
People Just Do Nothing.
Finds Ipswich hilarious, if you remember.
Yeah.
His
yeah.
favourite team is Ipswich.
And Aston Villa.
Chaps, I'm never going to persuade you of that.
There.
I'm never going to persuade you of that. But I thought it would be good, just because I knew how you'd react to that particular statement. Let us know what you think. If you agree with me, the American Office is better than the British version, you're correct. Feel free to send loads of abuse towards Stu and Andy on that note. Or send them quotes and get into a quote off with them.
Oh, God.
Yes. GIF off.
Yeah, if you're going to do that, could you do it tonight? Because I've got quite a full-on day on Tuesday and I don't need to be looking at my phone.
Do a GIF off. Chaps, it's the end of
Mr. Toad.
It's the end of Mark's big question, sadly, for another week. Let's talk back to the football. Let's talk about the under-23s. You were there today, you watched an under-23 team with quite a few first team players in.
Yep.
Draw 3-3 with QPR.
6 goal thriller.
All
Teddy
of the
Bishop.
Goals in the second half.
Teddy T Bish Bishop. T Bag. He's not going to go for that as a nickname, is he? T Bag. No.
No.
He bagged. A brace,
he
though.
Did bag
That's
a
what
brace.
He did.
T-Bish bagged a brace.
T-Bish
so your thoughts? Obviously, Bishop scored 2. Danny Rowe was playing. Who else was playing? Tiala,
Toto, Danasian,
Danasian,
Kenlock. Someone started calling in our office Ross, who was a very popular appearance on the last podcast, calls him Donation.
Donation.
Which does sound probably more like it might be. It might be right. Mm. Yeah, he played. He was Dizel. Yep. And your boy up front.
I was going to come on to this, obviously, but Aaron Joynen, that's what today was all about. He played. You can confirm. I mean, I asked you what he's like, and you said rubbish, basically.
Well,
but you said he's got good hair and he wears number 9, right? He wears it well. So, what more do you need? Incoming. Is this breaking news? Paul Lambert.
Press officer Steve Pearce is calling me. So I'll ring him back. That's fine.
That'd be great. Take that live on.
That would have been superb.
Live on the podcast.
Evans has sold the club. Breaking news.
Yeah, just
I'm muting
missed out on that one.
I'm giving you the heads up.
Yeah.
We're too busy talking about Aaron
Joynen. Coming out at half five.
What can we give Mark anything to sort of this hot take still alive?
Come on, he looks. At least he's here. That's the step.
You
closer.
Turned to me during the game and said that's a really good high press there from Joynen.
Mm-hmm. I did say that.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. While we've been doing this, we've had a tweet from friend of the show Martin, who says you need to let this one go, mate, because I put out on Twitter that. Tremendous to see Joynen.
Is Martin a friend of the show?
Is he not?
He keeps trying to fight everyone.
That was a long time ago. A long time ago.
Nobody did fight.
And the offer still stands, Martin, if you want to throw some hands.
Oh, don't. We've just moved away from all this fight talk. Martin is a friend of the show.
Yes.
I'm going to say that very
he's,
much.
Anyway,
so.
He's telling me we've got to let it go. He's being let go in January. So I do hope that's not true.
Yeah, Mark, I'm on today's showing. I don't think he'll be troubling the first team anytime soon.
I think he's closer to what Martin's just said there than the first team.
How dispiriting.
He got substituted in the end. They moved Ben Folami from the left to a central striker role. He ended the game there. But
Lambert's also said he's going to play a strong team in the Cup, which is where you...
We can't play
in that. We can't play in that either, can he? It's all falling down.
It's not going to happen, is it, boys? Oh well. Anyway, give me some reason to be cheerful. Teddy Bishop, teabag.
Teddy
got
Bishop,
two, didn't
yeah.
he?
Two goals. Took them quite well. One was a close range finish. One was a nice finish just from the outside of the box. Denied a hat trick by a super save from the goalkeeper. Clawed one out the top corner. He looked very good. Whether he'll start. Against Wigan on Saturday remains to be seen. I would think that they'll be treading a little bit carefully with him still, don't you?
But 90 minutes is great, though. Like whether he starts or not, it's not all about this weekend for Teddy Bishop, is it? We're trying to get a young man back on the field who's missed so much football.
Anyone else stand out? Danny Rowe sounds like there was an own goal, wasn't there, that he was instrumental
Hit the post twice, one of those.
And made one of
Bishop's ultimately
goals.
Forced the own goal. He's always busy, isn't he, Danny Rowe, up and down, played on the right today, cutting in on his left foot. Always busy, caused trouble. But then he's been like that in most under 23 games that I've seen this season. He's always busy, always involved, but it's not always translated into the first team.
He's got something, Danny Rowe. I mean, when they first signed him, I thought he had a few decent little cameos in the second half of that season. They paid $100,000 to get him from Macclesfield, who were... National League at the time. That's a fair wedge of money for someone at that level of football. Lambert likes inverted wingers cutting inside on their stronger feet. So he's been on the bench a few times. Wouldn't be writing him off just yet.
Okay. Any more from today? Any others that might trouble the scorers come Saturday?
The back four in general is under the spotlight for Ipswich Town at the moment with some of the mistakes they've made and the goals they've been conceding. People have been saying, why hasn't Lambert changed his back four? I think today was kind of a reminder of probably why he hasn't, because it was a back four of Cotter, Enciala, Danassi and Kenlock. I don't think any of those four really stood up and put their hands up to say that they should be replacing anyone in that back four.
No, I don't think. Kenlock in particular had a bit of a difficult time, didn't he? Positioning a little bit off. Players got in behind him, most notably. He gave away a penalty. First, the guy got in behind him, Smythe. He tugged him back outside the box and they stayed together and he kind of clumsily brought him down in the box. And crosses were still coming into the box from either side, which is what the complaint over the fullback has been. And in the middle, quite frankly, I don't think either of those players are going to displace Chambers or Matt Pennington at the moment.
Okay. Full report online now.
Should be, if our systems worked, it certainly will be by the time you're listening to this.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you wanted to look at it now, you probably could as well.
I might just do that in a minute. Good pitch as well from Jon Ross. Hopefully of Teabag celebrating some of his goals.
It's exactly what he's got.
Excellent.
And
he sent me one of Dronan as well, which is nice.
Is that going on your wall? You've got your wall, haven't you?
Got the wall behind us. It could go on there, actually, couldn't it?
About your wall at home? It's got all your fighting stuff in it.
My memorabilia room.
What if Drinan gave you a shirt with that guy?
Oh, that guy. Then absolutely. Okay, shirt.
We'll see what we can do.
Because, I mean, on that wall, there's Muhammad Ali.
Yep.
There's Harry Kane from the World Cup this year.
Oh, yeah. Remember that thing, there's
a Mike Tyson signed glove, and there's some UFC stuff in there.
Just missing your Aaron Drinan now to finish the
question. The obvious thing that I need. Chaps, I was meant to leave 10 minutes ago, so let's zip through mailbag if we could.
Eight minutes ago, sorry.
Let's take one at a time. Harry Butcher, early question for Kings of Anglia. He sent this 10 hours ago. He was keen, was young Harry.
Did he even know we were doing one?
Well, this is actually before I put the thing out about us doing one. So, stating the obvious thing a bit, Harry, but I'll ask it anyway. Do you think we need to be a bit more clever and stop conceding at crucial times in matches?
Yes.
Yes.
Town do need to stop conceding at crucial times in matches. Surprise, yes. Surprise answer there. Next up, friend of the parish, formerly of this parish, friend of the show, Tony Southgate, sent us a lovely little treat, didn't he?
He sent us advent calendars in the post. Calendars.
We are absolutely open to bribes. So if anyone
particularly chocolate-based ones.
And crisps. And Carl's.
We don't need any more crisps for now.
We're on bag two. Daryl Jones?
Yeah.
Daryl Jones, D-Jax, Jacksonville. We're on bag two, Daryl, if you're listening. We opened it today. What was it?
New Orleans Voodoo.
Voodoo. You nailed it, Stu, when you said it tasted like tomato ketchup crisps.
Yeah, but there was something else in there as well.
A bit more smokiness, wasn't it?
Yeah, smoky. It was good.
Anyway, Tony says, should we still be fighting for survival, or should we, essentially, should we be planning for League One? Should Town just give up?
You've got to fight. You can't give up, because we talked about narrative management earlier, and you've got to fight. This is December we're talking here. If you're waving white flags in December, it's going to be a long old 5 months of planning.
I see what you're saying in terms of January, though. You know, there's four games till the January window opens. If the damage is a lot worse by then, and it's starting to look one way, does Evans chuck a load of short-term money at it in January, or do you hold a bit of those funds back for a bigger rebuilding job in the summer? That's what you've got to decide, where the chunk of your money's going. But I think Lambert will be pushing as hard as possible to get some short-term solutions.
How far off the pace do you have to be before it's a lost cause? Because what are they now? 8 points off?
It's eight at the moment.
This is a hard question, but you cringe every time that goes any further, or the prospect. We were sat in the press room at Stoke. Reading were drawing 0-0 with Sheffield United. If Reading had won that, it would have been 10. That's what you're looking at here.
You start getting double figures,
that's
the worry.
I don't know.
Saturday's big, isn't it? Wigan at home. You look at these next four. Wigan at home, Sheffield United at home, who are going pretty well, and then QPR away on Boxing Day, and then Middlesbrough away. You wouldn't be going there expecting anything at all, would you? So these next two home games, and particularly the Wigan one, are looking pretty big, because you know, if that gap is in double figures, significant double figures, got some decisions to make in terms of the business they do.
Questions from Craig, Paul Stewart and Dylan, all on a similar line, and kind of handle them, but I'll read them out just because I'd like people to be involved. Lambert's recruitment, Craig says, in recent years has seen a majority of loan deals. Do you think this is a route we'll be going? Any idea of the names you'll be going after? Obviously, we've already had a little chat. Rumoured Crouch and Adam, are they realistic? Already covered. Dylan, do we need any more attacking midfielders? If so, Johnny Williams probably available. Can you see this happening? Please, God, no, surely.
I don't think that needs to happen again, would be my gut feeling on that one. As talented as Johnny Williams was.
Yeah.
They've got midfielders with injury problems already.
Yeah.
It's not the type of midfielder they need. For me, it's more of a midfield general, an experienced midfielder. I know we've talked about Charlie Adam, but maybe Henry Lansbury at Aston Villa. You know, someone who's got a bit of a nasty edge, a bit of championship nous about them. Johnny Williams, it felt like there was a bit of a bat phone direct to him in Ian Milne's office. He came back so many times. I wouldn't go back on that one. That, you know, we've been there and done that. Well, I will chuck in there quickly, and this is a text fresh through as we're talking, confirming something that we'd had a whisper on, that Ipswich are very much scouting some of the European leagues. Lambert's looking to use a few of his contacts. Obviously, he's played in Germany, done his badges in Germany, but France, I think, is a division that they're looking at as well.
He's recruited there from, I think, a fair amount of his Villa recruitment was French. His only signing for Stoke was from the French market. There's lots of teams see value in the French market, because outside of Paris and Monaco and maybe Marseille, the financial figures going around France aren't hefty. There's value in the French.
So you're saying if he was called Aaron Drinan, he might have more of a chance to play?
And wore a little beret.
Yeah, wore a little beret, yeah. Yeah, Stewie, what was I going to say there? I've totally forgotten. Can't have been important. Paul Stewart says, any ideas on which players Lambert will be targeting in January? Any truth in Charlie Adam and Peter Crouch rumours? Obviously, we've already covered that. The pin throws in quite a lot of marked style questions, which we'll leave to the end. Luke Penning says, any chance in putting Barry Cotter in as a replacement for Spence? Never really been convinced by him. I saw Cotter on his debut and liked him going forward. Something I've never really seen often with Spence. Cotter was great against Cardiff under-23s as well.
But I've watched a fair amount of Barry Cotter this year, and he has not produced the same level of that Barnsley performance since.
Mm-hmm.
He has been tested a bit more defensively as well, and sometimes finds things a little bit difficult. He's getting better, I think. He's positionally, he's improving, but I think Jordan Spence, as much as he splits opinion both in my own mind and among Ipswich fans, I think he's the best option at the moment.
Matt Thomas, a win v Wigan, win v Sheffield, and then confidence going to QPR away on Boxing Day. It's all very well being realistic, but why are so many RTFC fans becoming dementors? More fantastic.
That's Harry Potter.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with Harry Potter because I'm not 10. More fantastical.
I am, so.
More fantastical hope needed. So he's still feeling positive. Harvey Davis. For you, Stewie, possible hot take, Tyrone Mings back to town on loan in January if Nutson departs. Thoughts?
Tyrone Mings in January. They might need a left back if Jonas Nutson is to depart, and I do think it's a question of when, not if. Nutson goes now, out of contract next summer. Do they cash in and try and get a bit of money for him in January, or do they decide to hold on to him and let him go for nothing next summer? But they'll need to start trimming the wage bill if they do end up heading down towards League One. Would Mings come? Is he available? That's another question, isn't it,
Andy? Yes, it is.
Yeah. Also, I'd imagine he wouldn't be cheap.
None of these kind of players are going to be cheap. And this is where the thought process for Marcus Evans comes in, because it's not, you're not just kind of, if you look at Ipswich's business last January, players like Carriol, Gleeson, while not cheap, they didn't break the bank. But if you're looking to bring in Premier League players, that's a different level of financial commitment, just for 6 months, obviously. But yeah, that's where the questions are.
Time will tell. Ian, time for Marcus Evans to revise his 5-point plan. Will it still apply in League One?
I was having a little look back through the 5-point plan the other day. Obviously, one glaring point, which is consistency with backroom staff and management, has kind of gone out the window with Paul Hurst lasting 149 days. But the rest of it, in terms of providing competitive funds for lower league signings that can be developed, you know, that box was ticked in the summer. Trying to provide an entertaining brand of football, I think Lambert's arrival has helped go some way towards that. So a lot of it still holds true. It's just not worked particularly well, has it?
We haven't, of course, touched on the story from last week about Marcus Evans. The Sun did the Marcus Evans put Town up for sale for $35 million, would write off his debts, essentially saying $135 million for Town, which obviously the club rubbished. We got an off the record kind of take that it was rubbish. But in terms of the Evans sale thing, obviously he said in the summer that he would listen to offers if he thought it was the right thing to do, and let's be honest, he would sell, wouldn't he? If the right thing came along, he'd sell in a shop if he thought he could get some money back.
He said he would.
Yeah.
But the club sort of rhetoric all along has been that the money that it currently forms it, which is £95 million debt, is owed to Marcus Evans, of course. And I think he's said, and I think club officials have said so many times, that there's no expectation of that.
Mm.
He's written that off, he said, doesn't he, at times?
Yeah, basically, yeah. He's in a good position where he doesn't need to recoup that money or even expect to recoup that money. It would be... It's just a bizarre story. The fact that it came a day after the finances came out seemed like someone just trying to move the story on that wasn't there to be moved on, really. As Andy says, he said in that video interview that if somebody came along with the right level of funds that could make Ipswich more competitive than he currently can, he wouldn't stand in the way. I genuinely think he does still have a great deal of interest and an affection for the club, and I know some people will be screaming, well, he doesn't show it with his funds. It's easy for us to say, spend more. He's still seeing £4, 5, 6 million a year go down the toilet every year, and you know, some of that, sure, is being offset with tax and all the rest of it, but he's losing a lot of money year after year with no real sign of getting any of it back. So I have to say, I have an element of sympathy with Marcus. He chucked a load of money at it in the early days. It didn't work. And the financial landscape of football has moved on, and he probably can't afford to be a competitive championship owner anymore. The problem is, you need someone that wants to take it off of his hands.
And I don't think anybody's going to want to do that for £135 million, are they?
No.
So that's not why, that's just as another flaw in that story.
Championship
Sunderland went for 30-something million when they were heading towards League One. I think Bolton are currently up for sale around the £20 million mark. That's probably a truer reflection of what Ipswich was worth. Listen, somebody might think that they can get Ipswich Town, a club steeped in tradition and history, on the cheap. If they go down to League One, I think Leicester's ownership situation changed when they were in League One. Maybe someone with mega foreign money, Middle East. There's lots of rumours about the Maktoum family in Dubai that are obviously involved with Godolphin in Newmarket. We can't sit here and stand any of that up. But there's all sorts of rumours washing around at the moment. The bottom line is, if someone like that came along, Evans would sell. I've got no doubt.
That's what it takes, though, isn't it? Talk about Maktoums. I mean, they've got the proverbial F off money. And that's what you need now, isn't it, to be competitive? Almost to be run as almost like a kind of side project play thing that you don't really need to make any money on, but you're just doing for entertainment, essentially.
Yep.
And that's sort of certainly what we'd need at Town right now. Let's move on. John Atkinson, Cole Skews, our only midfield player with a decent amount of change in the Championship, and there are only six others that have. Two of them are goalkeepers. Who is to blame for that? Paul Hurst or Marcus Evans? He says Evans for not providing sufficient funds to buy at least some Championship experience. I mean, Lambert actually said last week, didn't he? I thought it was quite interesting in the presser. Who brings in 10 to 12 new players? Players that have not had Championship experience. He basically said no one does that. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, hindsight's a wonderful thing. I think they are all the type of signings that fans wanted. Hurst is right when he says, well, I got the vibe when I arrived that people were getting a bit fed up of the same old signings, the sort of short-term, over-the-hill, experienced players that were coming in as a bit of a sticking plaster. So his remit was to come in and sign those types of players. Maybe that was his naivety of not knowing the Championship in expecting them all to step up and do it together at the same time. I think some of these players will turn out to be decent players in the long term, but as Lambert now keeps saying, they just needed a little bit of help around them.
If you want, you look at if you're trying to bulk out a squad, which is what Hurst was trying to do, though he was left with half a squad when he took over. You're then looking, if you're looking for Championship experience, you're looking at people like Stephen Gleeson and Mustafa Carriol, which is exactly what they'd got rid of, and that's. Sadly, that's Ipswich Town's market. If you're looking for experienced Championship players, that's the market of those kind of players. Mm. And like Stu's just said, that wasn't what was required. It's just a shame that by signing the kind of players that we were all excited about arriving, sure, it just hasn't worked.
Arthur Pickthorne says, is Ken Lock still injured? Surely he must be putting pressure on Knudsen, especially as Lambert said repeatedly he wants to see what everyone can offer. Ken Lock wasn't involved on the 23s today.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he's not injured. He's played a couple of 23 games since, was it an ankle injury?
Yeah, ankle.
I think we discussed earlier that from what we've seen, probably not doing quite enough to put pressure on Knudsen.
Alf, what month will our relegation be confirmed in, and do you think we'll be equipped to come back up straight away? $1 million question.
That's the, just the big, that is everything to do with Ipswich Town at the moment, isn't it? When will they go down? When will they go down? And are they ready to come back? I don't think we can say if they're equipped to come back yet.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that will depend on what the answer to the first part of that question is. If they go down fighting, obviously if they stay up, they don't have to come back. But if they go down fighting at the end of April, start of May, then you'd think that there's an, you know, a good core ready to come back straight away. If it goes down as a whimper, there's going to be a summer rebuilding job. And that's when you start to worry about it, which that can go both ways.
Phil Kerridge, are the Town players on divisional contracts? If not, the FFP rules in League One could destroy us if we go down. Do we know that?
I'd be amazed if there wasn't relegation clauses in all of them. I think that would probably be par for the course amongst any club in the Championship that thinks they've got the slimmest of chances of going down. They'll do that to protect themselves, I'm sure. Andy can give you a few figures because he's been delving into FFP.
It's not called FFP. It's called the League One Salary Cost Management Protocol. So we need to get used to SCMP.
SCMP, rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, which states, basically it states League One and League Two teams can't spend more than 60% of their annual turnover on player wages. And there are some exceptions to that. Relegated teams from the Championship can spend 75% in their first season, while professionally contracted players who are 21 or younger don't count towards that. But right now, Ipswich Town are spending, what did we say, 104%
of their annual turnover. Annual turnover goes
which
on
will
to,
drop.
To wages. Which will drop, yeah. I mean, I would think they would have to probably sell a Bartosz Białkowski after he signed a bumper new contract. Chambers is due to be out of contract. You'd have a big decision to make on him. He'd be one of the higher earners, as we've been discussing. Knudsen will probably go at some point in the near future. But the wage bill naturally reduced last summer, didn't it? You know, with the likes of Waghorn and Garner and Webster leaving, and they've been replaced with these lower league players. Jackson will be on a much smaller wage than Waghorn, and you could replicate that scenario for a number of the business done. So in some ways, they've already started preparing themselves for that. Maybe that's why they're in the position they're in.
Yeah. So what was that? When you're taking into account what we would imagine would be a relegation drop in salary for players, the shedding of Knudsen, Białkowski, you would think the ability to, if they really wanted to, I think Grant Ward, Freddie Sears, and as you said, Jonas Knudsen will be gone. Luke Chambers. I don't think it's going to be as much of an issue as people are saying, right, and fearing right now. It will mean a completely different looking Ipswich Town squad, but I don't think it's going to be as catastrophic as people maybe fear at the moment.
The only real financial millstones would be your Emir Hughes, they broke with tradition and gave him quite a lengthy contract. So
Adeyemi, another one they can release.
Adeyemi can go, but Hughes is contracted beyond that, so he'd be hanging around, potentially still injured, earning a decent wage. Cole Skews would have another year on his contract, obviously another year older in terms of him, what he brings to the table in a playing style. But there's not a whole load of players there that you think they would find hard to shift if they really needed to move them on.
That brings us to the end of the depressing / boring football related sensible questions, and let's move on now to the entertaining stuff, starting with the pin regarding Steve Gate, which Do we know if Lambo still thinks you're called Steve?
Steve Gate. An update on Steve Gate. I went to the shareholders AGM last Wednesday night. I tried to hide myself at the back of the room. I tried to blend in with the crowd because I'm not there really to join in with the questions. I'm there just to be a voyeur and report on what everyone else was asking. Somehow Lambert's clocked me 10 rows back And mid-AGM, he was asked about his January transfer plans, and he said, I better not tell you anything because I've already clocked Steve at the back of the room with his laptop. So at that stage, he clearly thought my name was still Steve. But in the time between then and the press conference, which was on Thursday or Friday afterwards, I believe the press officer, also called Steve, and that may be where the confusion has come from, has informed him of his error.
Yeah.
And Steve has dried up now.
Although, to be fair, when Steve Pearce at said presser said, Stu, Lambert looked very confused as to where the question was coming from, didn't he?
He did, yeah. He kept looking at the TV cameraman, hoping that there was a Steve amongst them. Yeah. I think that was the moment it dawned on him that he'd been getting it wrong. I'd love to think that this was some sort of ongoing joke where Lambert knew my name all along and it was a bit of fun, but I think it was a genuine mistake. Shame the gag's over because... as somebody tweeted me earlier this week, that was one of the few remaining things of interest left with the season.
You'll always be Steve to me, Stewie. Anyway, the pin, that was the first part of the question, just says regarding Steve Gay. If you're all women, what would your preferred first name be?
Wasn't expecting that.
Took a twist, didn't it? Took a turn that.
Do you know what you'd be called if you were a girl?
Yeah.
What?
Rebecca.
Claire for me, which is weird because my wife's called Claire.
I would have been called Aisha.
Aisha?
Yeah, because my parents lived in Yemen when I was made, as it were. So they came back, they flew back so I could be born in England, in Derby. Would be quite interesting to have a Yemeni passport these days, wouldn't it? Sure, I might get researches on planes and stuff.
Aisha would have been nice and exotic, but exactly. you ended up with Mark.
I know. Yeah, so Aisha, that would have been my name, which I thought was quite nice.
Cool.
I'm not sure I'd want it to be my first name now. The pin also asked two more questions, but you're being greedy, pin, so we're going to have to move on. Next up, Brian Wren, the angry man. He's back. Good to hear from you, Brian. The three wise men of the East, he says.
Yep.
Certainly the case for you two, not sure about myself. What gifts would you bring to Paul Lambert this Christmas? If you're buying Paul Lambert a present, what are you getting him?
What am I getting him?
I'd get him a mug with Steve's face on it.
Yes.
Would you? Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you getting him, Steve?
I'd get him a League One roadmap. No, that's...
Oh,
that's
ouch.
Not, ouch. What would I get him?
Sick burn.
I'd get him... I would get him a goal scorer.
Yeah.
Three points boring. Is the best gift I could give him for Christmas.
Oi. I'd get him a fine single malt whiskey because obviously he's Glaswegian. I'm sure he enjoys whiskey, and that's a good present for anyone.
What I would get him is another candle because he had a really nice candle which I really liked burning in his office, and it looked like it was getting low. So I'd buy him a nice big Yankee
scented candle.
Yeah.
What?
Fruits of the forest.
Flavour?
Yeah.
Is that
what? Well, you know what I mean.
Scent?
Yeah,
scent.
You don't eat it, I'm sure you... Yeah, anyway.
Don't eat candle wax.
No.
Hot or otherwise. Yeah. No, it's kind of a red berry.
Yeah.
Probably.
Whiskey-wise, if you're asking, Lagavulin, the king of whiskies. If anyone wants to send me some free stuff. No, Lagavulin, the king of whiskies.
Don't send me any of that.
No, send me the whiskey. Yeah, quality. You don't like whiskey. Of course you don't drink,
it's
do you?
It's all right.
Watch Harry Potter, but you don't drink.
I'll get him a little engraved hip flask to go with that.
Nice.
He can have that. Lovely touch line as well for things.
And I'll buy him some golf balls and a golf tee.
Love Steve.
Nice. I bet he likes golf.
We're just describing our presents to our dads.
And finally, very importantly, Tom Lawrence simply says, Branston chunky or smooth? # pickle.
Chunky.
Got to be chunky, hasn't it?
None.
You don't like pickle either?
Don't like it. No.
I must say, by the way, I listened to the podcast when I was off. I was off on the Friday when you recorded it. The revelation about baked potato with gravy and mustard, I was sickened by it.
Me too.
Absolutely sickened. So you won't eat pickle, but you'll eat a baked potato smothered in mustard and gravy.
Yeah.
That's mental.
Why?
That's insane. Like, it's not a meal.
As you all know, having listened to that podcast, I wasn't suggesting that... I never go home thinking, you know what? You know what I want tonight? It's a baked potato with mustard and gravy. I just said I have had it on a needs-must basis.
I don't understand this. How do you ever, as a grown man, a father of a young toddler, young baby rather, not toddler, I guess, technically.
Correct.
Find yourself in that situation where you haven't got anything to
needs
eat in the house.
Needs-must. I was just hungry. I was going to have a... Right. I was going to have a baked potato. Is it baked potato? Okay.
Yeah, that's we'll fine. Start, we'll start there. Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely, fantastic.
Decided I didn't want beans.
Yeah,
right.
Because I had beans, unusual. Just didn't want them. So I thought, you know what I really like? Roast potatoes and gravy. Shall I have a baked potato and gravy? Yes, please. I reckon this might be nice with a little bit of mustard mixed into talking, the gravy. Yes, that, please. And it was really nice.
We're talking gravy granules, are we? And Coleman's mustard, are we talking? That kind of no, English mustard?
No, we're not talking Coleman.
Some horseradish in there as well, shall we? Just maybe some jelly.
Right. We'll do a podcast round at mine.
Yeah.
And I'll serve you up baked potato with gravy and mustard. And we'll all have them.
I like
we'll
that.
All eat them.
I want to do and, that and as then, a video podcast.
And then... And only then,
we'll call you a mentalist.
Yeah,
in my own home.
Yeah,
you'd do that.
Yeah, I'd be the sickest of burns.
Yeah. Fine. Well,
but friend, I also want to stress that I think someone asked you about whether or not I'd agree with it or something, and you did a brief video of you doing what can only be described as the technique called a smear, a very chefy thing to do, smearing mustard across the plate. I don't know that none other than former MasterChef winner Steve Groves. Tweeted you to say excellent techers.
Exactly.
That's the kind of
Andy is having a baked potato with bisto and a mustard smear.
Mate,
Mark is having a foie gras poussin with a chocolate soil. Of course he is.
I don't like foie gras. That's disgusting. I think it's despicable what they do to get foie gras. And also chocolate soil. It's not chocolate soil, it's just crumbled up bits of brown.
Yeah, but it's called chocolate soil.
I know it is.
Oh, yeah, I'm having a celeriac foam.
Yeah.
just get a grip. Purees, emulsions, foams, soils, smears. It's a sauce.
It's not hashtag proper, is it?
It's just a sauce. I like all those sauces, sure. Yes.
I feel like we always bring a bit more passion to these parts of the podcast than we do the actual...
We're talking about potatoes and mustard again. Like,
absolutely, absolutely.
Just give it a chance. Don't write me off. Come round. I'll do a good baked potato as well, by the way.
Baked potatoes are excellent. Excellent.
Must just take your time.
Makes me feel physically sick thinking about putting gravy
in mustard. What's wrong with it?
It's mental. It's insane.
I know it's obviously lacking the key components of a meal. I'm not disputing that.
Where's your protein?
No, I'm not disputing that. Like, chuck some beef in there if you want, if it makes it better. But
well, beans, protein.
Andy,
nice.
Just stop.
I didn't bring it up.
No. But as I say, got a props from a MasterChef winner.
Exactly,
so
and then you're coming
enough
in
respect.
Just
anyway, chaps, I'm now like almost 40 minutes later than I wanted to be going home, but we're not finished yet. I bring you very good news indeed, looking ahead to this weekend, that Ipswich Town will win this weekend. You know why? Dr. Watson might be there.
Yeah.
And what happened last time he missed a game? At Swansea? They only bloody won, didn't they?
They did, actually, yeah.
Only bloody won. You never saw Paul Hurst even win a game for Town?
No. So, I haven't seen him win a game of football since they won at Reading 4-0, which seems a long time ago now. When was that? April time? So, if they win on Saturday, hashtag... Steve out.
Yeah. And what chances do you think they're going to win on Saturday? Let's be honest, prediction wise, let's have them.
Win.
They've got win. To. Which means I think they might.
I really bloody hope so. I really bloody hope so.
Harrison, winner. There you go.
Yes. Bomber. Chaps, any other business before we head off? I head off?
No other business.
No other business.
Thanks very much for listening. As ever, please do hit subscribe on your various podcast providers. Leave us a review on iTunes. 5 stars, please. Helps with our visibility. Hit subscribe, as I say. It's been a delight as ever to talk to you. Stewie's leaving the room. I've not even finished Stew. What are you doing? I thought you were flossing, but then it looked like something else.
Go away, Stew.
On that note, we've now finished this podcast. It's been delightful speaking to you, and we'll talk to you again soon.